And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day, another great week, another great month, another great quarter of the year in this greatest nation on God's green earth to celebrate today, which is April Fool's Day. Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, began the White House press briefing with a little bit of an April Fool's joke. It didn't go over well. We'll let you enjoy it yourself coming up on the Michael Medved Show. There's also all kinds of ramifications about controversy concerning Easter. And controversy? Well, partisan sniping, back and forth, an attack on President Biden because he allegedly banned any kind of Christian symbols on the Easter egg roll in the White House on Easter Day. Now, is that true? Did that happen? And President Trump spent Easter morning sending out a few statements to help people get in the spirit of the holiday. He sent out 77 postings on Truth Social. Yeah, somebody's got to use it. I mean, it is not showing up well in terms of its profitability, even though the price has been way up, but been bidden way up. But the general assumption is that this is what they call a bubble. There is also a great agitation in Israel right now, the largest anti-government demonstrations since October 7th. It was remarkable the way a very divided country, and Israel is, politically divided. And that country came together in the face of the war. But now that the war has been going on since October 7th, there's a different kind of coming together, with different strands of the anti-government demonstrations now agreeing to cooperate. And a lot of experts in Israeli politics really do believe that at some time soon, maybe right after the operations in Rafah, unless those operations are a tremendous success, what you're going to have with Benjamin Netanyahu is something like a resignation, or he will be forced by his own war cabinet to resign, meaning that they would get new elections. The interruption there that I was about to head out on is something I just found out, which is that Prime Minister Netanyahu is now recovering after undergoing hernia surgery yesterday. The surgery was on Sunday. It was successful, the hospital spokesperson said. Netanyahu's office said the hernia was discovered during a routine checkup and that the prime minister was to be under full anesthetic and unconscious for the procedure. In a news briefing on Sunday, Netanyahu took the time to thank people who checked in on him following his diagnosis. Okay, obviously not a great time for Prime Minister Netanyahu, though they have reassembled and rescheduled that meeting with representatives of his government, two extremely good guys, Tzachi Hanegbi and Ron Dermer, who are coming to consult with top officials in the U.S. government and maybe repair some of the strain between Israel and the United States. Getting back to the issues of what happened on Easter, there's a headline in CNN. It says, Republicans slam Biden for proclaiming Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter. Okay, that's one thing. And the other attack on Biden is the ban on religious symbols on the Easter egg roll. That's the easier one to deal with. On Easter Sunday, the difficulty with the Easter egg roll is that it was not a new policy for the Biden administration. And it's actually a continuation of a policy from the American Egg Board, which has been dealing with the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn for 45 years. Some Republicans, including Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, and former President Trump, the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party for president, also claimed that Biden banned religious-themed designs at the White House's Easter events. The American Egg Board, which partners with the White House on Easter events, said the procedures in place this year haven't changed. Quote, "The American Egg Board has been a supporter of the White House Easter egg roll for over 45 years, and the guideline language referenced in recent news reports has consistently applied to the board since its founding across administrations." That is a quote from Emily Metz, who was president and CEO of the American Egg Board. She said in a statement, when you think of here the American Egg Board, you think about the people who get together to arrange the pardoning of the Thanksgiving turkeys every year. This is just one of those White House traditions, been going on for a long time, and apparently didn't offend anybody until now. Metz said the board is required to operate within federal guidelines for all of its activities, and that it is prohibited from discriminating in all programming and activities on the basis of religion, political beliefs, and all other stated categories. And Elizabeth Alexander, who's a spokesperson for First Lady Dr. Jill Biden, cast the Republican egg complaints as a misleading swirl. It's a strange phrase. And posted on X, "The American Egg Board flyers' standard non-discrimination language requesting artwork has been used for the last 45 years across all Democratic and Republican administrations." Okay, what about this idea of Biden using Easter Sunday to issue a pro-transgender day of visibility? Is this a way of insulting that great majority of Americans for whom there is a religious holiday called Easter that observes the resurrection and the central event, according to Christian thinking, in all of human history, which has to do with life after death and very deep themes? Okay, here is what they report on CNN, and it makes the whole thing a little bit more clear. Republicans are taking aim at President Biden for proclaiming Easter Sunday as the Transgender Day of Visibility, though the 2 days only coincided this year by chance. The Transgender Day of Visibility, which was started in 2009, 15 years ago, as a day of awareness to celebrate the successes of transgender and gender nonconforming people, is held annually every year on March 31st. The day of Easter, however, changes from year to year. And I think it's fairly confusing, and there are not many people who can explain the basis on which it changes, but it does. Several Republicans nonetheless seized on Biden's proclamation to attack the president. And speaking of presidential attacks, 77 messages sent out Easter morning by President Trump. What did he have to say to enrich the holiday? That and more coming up on the Medved Show.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
We'll be right back.
And on the Michael Medved show, a report from the Jerusalem Post, in the largest anti-government demonstration since October 7th, thousands of protesters gathered in Jerusalem to call on Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's government to step down and for Israel to reach a deal to free the hostages held in Gaza. They also, of course, are demanding that when the prime minister would step down, they would have new elections. And this government has actually lasted longer than the previous four governments. They've had a lot of elections recently, and they had electionitis. I mean, just too much of the constant going back for polling and campaigns. The one good thing about the Israeli political system is that the campaign doesn't last for 2 years as it does here in America. It only lasts for a couple of weeks. But then again, you have campaigns again and again and again because they've had unstable governments. This government is deeply unstable right now because of an issue that has only tangentially to do with the war, which is an issue of how they treat what is called the Haredim. Haredim are 13% of the Israeli population. And it means people who are often described in the American press as ultra-Orthodox. And people are very confused because they have modern Orthodox, nationalist Orthodox, who are very active in the army, very active in politics, and majority of the officer corps are actually observant religious people, but they are not Haredim. The Haredim are the people you will see. They're often featured in the newspaper more than you would think as just 13% of the population. But people wearing black clothing with broad-brimmed hats and sometimes with the payas, the side curls for young men. In any event, traditionally, they got a deal when David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, was setting up the Jewish state. There are so many hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Haredim who were killed by Hitler because unlike a lot of the more secular Jewish people who had been immigrating out of Europe, and particularly out of Eastern Europe and the former Russian Empire, former Austro-Hungarian Empire, a lot of the religious people stayed. They didn't want to immigrate somewhere else because that was the center of Jewish learning in the world at the time. In any event, because there was a remnant. And in 1948, and I checked on this, it was only 5% of the population of the land of Israel. So Ben-Gurion agreed that they would not be obliged if they were studying Torah, if they were doing religious study full time, they would not be obliged to go into the army for 2 or 3 years like everybody else, men and women alike. And there were also problems about for people who were super religious or the so-called ultra-Orthodox, the Haredim, there were problems of men serving alongside women. In any event, the Supreme Court has just come down and said in Israel that if the Haredim or groups of Haredim don't come forward, more of them, to serve in the army, they're not going to get the kind of subsidies they get for their seminaries and yeshiva and for their religious study. And this might bring down the government because if the government accepts the Supreme Court's judgment and cuts off these subsidies, the religious parties, which without which there would be no majority for Netanyahu, the religious parties would walk out of this coalition. And if they do stand up to this for the Supreme Court and cut off these subsidies, that could lead to some of the secular conservatives leaving the government. So it's very shaky now, and it does look like there is going to be a new political crisis. In a dramatic turn in Tel Aviv, the biggest city in Israel, biggest by population. The main organization lobbying on behalf of the families of the hostages in Gaza said it would cease its Saturday night vigils and rallies in what has come to be known as Hostages Square, and instead join in the anti-government protests that have taken place in a different location several blocks away. Meanwhile, also protesters who are calling on Hamas to surrender? No. To return the hostages? No. The pro-Palestinian protesters are in New York. And this past Saturday, the day before Easter, those protesters called on Hamas to strike Tel Aviv. And that doesn't mean strike like labor unions. It means strike like missiles, attacks, and suicide squadrons and murder is basically what it means. They had a land day demonstration in New York on Saturday, and they chanted Abu Ubaida, our beloved. In a crowd led by Within Our Lifetime, WOL organizer Abdullah Akal. And then strike, strike, strike Tel Aviv. Strike, strike Tel Aviv. And just thinking about what that means should counterbalance sort of what some of what we heard from Pope Francis I or Francis II this Easter Sunday, where he did call for an immediate ceasefire, but he also called for immediate release of the hostages, which is appropriate. Meanwhile, there is April Fool's today. So what is it that Karine Jean-Pierre had to say? Supposed to be hilarious. And then she also had a chance in her press briefing today to respond on the coincidence of the Trans Day of Visibility occurring on Easter Sunday. And again, critics are saying of President Biden that he didn't send out an appropriate Easter message, but he did send out a message for the Trans Day of Visibility. And what does that say? What does that say about the importance of religion in his life? And what does it say about the importance of religion in Trump's life, that there are all kinds of new products, many of them religious, that he is selling in order to raise money to help pay his law bills? We will get to that and much more coming up on The Medved Show.
I feel like I'm on a special spiritual journey.
This is The Michael Medved Show.
Promised, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press spokesperson, made the most of her opportunity today, being the day after the Easter holiday. Many people took Good Friday off, so it ended up being a three-day holiday, and it's also the beginning of the baseball season. I mean, I know it's sacrilegious to compare Easter to the beginning of the baseball season, but after the Mariners' second and third games, where they did okay, the other two games, in any event, it's start of the baseball season is always the idea of rebirth and second chances and wait till next year. Well, this is next year, and it's exciting. And the one thing that's great about it is There's no baseball denialism. I mean, nobody says, no, we didn't lose that game. We won. What it says, we lost 7-5. No, we actually won 9-7. No, it's a fairly definitive. It's also definitive that Karine Jean-Pierre does not have a future in stand-up comedy. Here she is this morning. This is clip 7.
So President Biden is scheduled to announce he is revoking the Hatch Act. So as a gift to all of you, so now I can actually take all your questions about 2024. No? I thought you would love that. All right, okay. April Fools. It is April 1st. Thank you. I thought that was pretty slick of me. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, the Hatch Act was passed in 1939 and limits the amount of partisan politics that government employees can get involved in. And I really don't understand why that was even funny for a moment. In good spirits and also not terrific with his comic timing or his pronunciation, the President of the United States came out surrounded by a couple of people in Easter Bunny costumes to speak at the Easter egg roll on the White House lawn, wishing holiday greetings to everyone. Here's the President. Clip 8.
That Easter egg roll, just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you. Come on, get in there. Pretty big bunny, huh? All right. Thank you all so very, very much. It's all yours. President's own.
Oh, God love you. What am I talking about?
Okay, he did say Oyster Bunny. Can we hear that again? Was that deliberate or was this just a slip-up? Easter Bunny, what's astonishing to this, I was actually talking to one of my grandchildren about this. Bunnies don't really lay eggs, mostly. I mean, they have ova, but, okay, here's President Biden again, obviously in a festive mood for the occasion. Sunshine, spring, April, Easter.
Say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, bunnies. Get up here so they can see you.
Okay, there were two bunnies, one on either side of him, one on the right and one on the left. And they both, I think for very little kids who were often the people who were there on the Easter egg roll in the White House, well, it'd be scary because these bunnies didn't look very much like rabbits at all. They didn't look like oysters either. Karine Jean-Pierre was also asked about the fact that the president issued, and many Democratic politicians issued, statements on behalf of the Trans Solidarity Day, and seemed to emphasize the Trans Solidarity Day, which had been set up 15 years ago. It had been formally observed on this day, March 31st, and it was just coincidence that it happened on the same day as Easter Sunday this year. This is, again, the presidential press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, asked about this coincidence in the White House press conference today. Listen. Clip 14.
So surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this, and I want to be very clear. Every year, for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year, it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide. And this misinformation out there is just, it's bad.
Okay, it is not that President Biden wants to replace Easter permanently with the Transgender Day of Visibility. Meanwhile, what about Trump? Because he had a busy Easter, too. Report from Newsweek, on Easter Sunday, the former president posted 77 messages on his social media platform criticizing his political enemies and sharing press coverage about him. In one post, he shared an article criticizing President Joe Biden's economic policies, and in another, he shared polls suggesting Trump will win overwhelmingly in November's presidential election. In other posts, he criticized Judge Arthur Engoron in New York and New York Attorney General Letitia James over a civil fraud case. Trump then shared an Easter message, all in capital letters, accusing his critics of election interference. Nothing says Easter like that. It's too bad Irving Berlin didn't get to write a song about that style Easter celebration. He wrote but the Easter Parade song. In any event, Trump shared an Easter message in capital letters accusing his critics of election interference and raging against efforts to prosecute him in his multiple indictments, to which the presumptive 2024 Republican presidential nominee has pleaded not guilty. His message was, again, all in caps, "Happy Easter to all, including crooked and corrupt prosecutors and judges that are doing everything possible to interfere with the presidential election of 2024 and to put me in prison, including those many people that I completely and totally despise because they want to destroy America, a now failing nation," he wrote. Trump went on to call out his prosecutors by name, mentioning Department of Justice Special Counsel Jack Smith, Fulton County District Attorney Fawnie Willis in Georgia, and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. He blasted each prosecutor and slammed Biden, describing the president as crooked. The former president concluded the post by again joyfully wishing, "Happy Easter, everyone!" exclamation point. So where do we go from there? We'll be right back.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
And on the Michael Medved show, on Morning Joe today, this is clip 13, Jeremy, Mika Brzezinski was speaking about Trump's Truth Social bender. Now, again, Trump doesn't drink, and that's true. It's true of Biden, too. I think this is, could be the first time ever that we've had both major candidates for president who stayed away from alcohol. Yeah, Jeremy immediately commented, Maybe they should start. Well, they missed the occasion of starting on St. Patrick's Day or starting on Easter Sunday. Didn't happen. But no, I'm trying to think. Eisenhower and Stevenson. No, Eisenhower liked his cocktails, and was not a heavy drinker. And Stevenson did too. I mean, I'm thinking of them because they are the previous pair who ran against each other in 52. Ike won by a landslide. They ran against each other in 56, and Ike won by an even bigger, much bigger landslide. He was a popular and great president. In any event, in terms of the Truth Social bender, where he shared commentary that compared him to Jesus, quite a bit of that. And he went on and on about his ongoing legal cases, all in capital letters, in sending out these precious messages to us. He also talked about the fundraiser that they did with the three presidents, with Clinton, Obama, and Biden, and talked about it as the night from hell, from the pits of hell, the Three Stooges. Now, I understand a lot of people who don't like the Three Stooges, but I don't think they came from the pits of hell. One of the interesting things, and my wife has actually written about this, for people who don't believe there are gender differences, it's really tough to find women who really like the Three Stooges. Though guys, particularly pre-adolescent guys, it's funny. And, you know, and with I had three younger brothers, so we related to the Three Stooges. Okay, I know there were four of us, but still. Okay, here is Mika Brzezinski about Trump's special sentiments that he shared with the country on Easter Sunday.
Donald Trump spending another religious holiday on social media on really what you would call a bender. Dozens turned into 40, 50, 60, 70 posts through Easter, through the Easter holiday. While most people were spending time with their families, maybe in church, we were in church, Trump appeared to be glued to his phone, posting 77 times on Truth Social. From sunrise to sunset, the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee spent the day airing his grievances and sharing far-right news coverage that cast him in a positive light. One all-caps post wished a happy Easter to his perceived enemies, including the, quote, crooked and corrupt prosecutors and judges that are doing everything possible to interfere with the presidential election of 2024 and put me in prison, including those many people that I completely and totally despise because they want to destroy America. Trump also shared two articles that compared him to Jesus Christ.
Okay. And this was also a subject for David French, who's a great friend of this show and a true leader in the conservative Christian community, and somebody who has fought for religious liberty, for the rights of homeschoolers, for the rights of churches and synagogues and, yes, even mosques to have their own total freedom of religious expression. In any event, he worries about the directions of American Christianity right now, and this as a very devout conservative Christian. He says, the anger and fear are so overwrought, the prophecies so silly, and the Savior so patently absurd, we may be missing the religious significance of the moment. A significant part of American Christianity is spiraling out of control, writes David French in the New York Times. The signs are everywhere. First, there's the behavior of the Savior himself, Donald J. Trump. On Monday of Holy Week, he compared himself to Jesus Christ, posting on Truth Social that he received a beautiful note from a supporter saying that it was ironic that Christ walked through his greatest persecution, the very week that you are trying to steal, that they are trying to steal your property from you. On Tuesday, he took to Truth Social to sell a $60 God Bless the USA Bible, a version of the King James Bible that also includes America's founding documents. Christians are under siege, he said. The Judeo-Christian Foundation of America is under attack, he said. 2 weeks ago, Charlie Kirk, the founder of Turning Point USA, told a Christian gathering that Democrats, quote, want full and complete destruction of the United States of America. Kirk is a powerful Trump ally. He has millions of followers on social media and is hoping to raise more than $100 million in 2024 to help mobilize voters for Trump. I do not think you can be a Christian and vote Democrat, Kirk said. And if you vote Democrat as a Christian, you can no longer call yourself a Christian. Really? Do people believe that? That if you vote one way or another? I mean, and this goes on both sides. I know that there are people who may believe because they so much dislike President Trump and fear what a second term of President Trump would be. They say, well, you can no longer call yourself a Christian or a religious person or a person of conscience or an American patriot if you vote for Trump. It's absurd. People have a right to make their decisions without disqualifying themselves as Americans, as Christians, as people of conscience. And some of this really requires delving into some of the background of our bitter and angry history in politics. Only once has this political differences here in the United States really led to terrible warfare, and that is our bloodiest war of all, the Civil War, where some 700,000 Americans on both sides, about 400,000 Union troops and about 300,000, a little bit more, Confederate troops died, gave their lives. The story of the Civil War, how we stumbled and terrible leadership helped lead to that war, is one of those stories, along with many others and scores of others, that are told in our American History Library. The Medved History Store Library is all of the programming, the history programming that we've ever done about the background of the Middle East War. Never been more current or necessary right now. There's a, that's about 5 hours that we prepared on the major wars in the Middle East and what was behind them and how they played out. A almost day-by-day, week-by-week story of the American Revolution, which is totally remarkable. We have material on the Mexican War, the Mexican-American War, as it's called today, and then on modern wars, contemporary wars, America's forgotten war, Korea. We lost 38,000 Americans in the Korean War. And did we accomplish something? We did. Was it significant? Go listen at the Medved History Store. The reason I'm talking to you about this is we've never had a sale like this before, and the response has been phenomenal. And may we have more. 85% off. 85% off. It's a less than 1/4 of the normal price, obviously. You're talking about 15% of the normal price for literally several hundred hours of inspiration, entertainment, and knowledge about the history of this amazing country. Just go to michaelmedved.com or go to medvedhistorystore.com. Be sure to use the code MEDHEAD for that 85% off on our entire Medved History Store library. A real way to appreciate this greatest nation on God's green earth.